Blog Talk Radio.
Because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, saith the writer. Amen. In Lamentations. So it's good for us to be here. We missed a couple of sessions. We didn't do. My wife has some very serious illness. So just glad to be able to be here one more time. Just pray. In that matter, but we thank God that we're able to declare what thus saith the Lord, amen, and that is what truth ministry is all about. Like the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth, and he told the disciples at that time that if you continue my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And also when he prayed his priestly prayer, St. John 17, chapter 17, verse, he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So thank God for the truth. And that's what a lot of people don't want in the world today, and that is the truth. They beat around the bush with a lot of matters. Matters not if someone accuses you of something. You could be accused. You could be tempted. But the question is it true what they're accusing you of? So the liars lie, and liars get caught. Because one thing about a lie, their story is not consistent in too many cases. So truth will make you free. So that's what the Bible talks about in the 15th Psalm. So very important. Even like the writer says in Proverbs 4 and 23, and he says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So that's what we have to do, is to keep our heart right and be truthful. If you messed up, get up, get yourself right, get restoration, and run for your life, as we say. So it's so important, like the writer in the 15th Psalm, David says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? It's a question. And he goes on to answer, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, and he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. So important. we speak the truth in our heart. We're not going to do nothing, no ill against your neighbor. And that's what the Bible says, that love worketh no ill against his neighbor. We're going to see, we're going to get to that. Even in the book of Galatians, where we had started out on the last time that we did our session. So we thank God for that. So been a nice lesson as we went through, very extensive, really, in every sense of the word, and that is out of the book of Corinthians, the first book with 16 books, I believe, and then the second book that had 13 books in the second book of Corinthians. So very extensive. We know that God's word, you can't exhaust God's word. So you can glean from a long time out of the word of the Lord, because scripture will support scripture. And so that's why the writer, Apostle Paul, when he wrote to his son Timothy in the gospel, and he admonished him, 2 Timothy 2 and 15, when he said, study to show thyself approved unto God. So this is what we got to do. Study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So the Bible is truth when it's rightly divided. So that's what the writer said in the book of Isaiah when he said, precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. So it's a puzzle. It's got to be put together. So you just can't grab a scripture like people say, we're the head and not the tail, and about blessings and cursings in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, which is for the Jews. It's for the Israelites. It's not for us. It's not for the church. We're not the head. Like people say, we're the head. No, we're not. The New Testament church is not the head. You can't take that. You're doing violence to the scriptures. But he is the head of the church, which is his body. Read in the book of Ephesians, talking about Christ. He is the head of the church, which is his body. So that busts everybody else's bubble. So you can look at the people being in their place and rightly dividing the word, like John the Baptist says, that he must increase, that I may decrease, talking about Jesus. So he is the one that was important. John the Baptist's ministry was over. And that awful thing that seemed to be that request about John Baptist's head being in the charger was a horrible request, but he had to die because his ministry was over at that time. So then Jesus came on the scene. So that's even John. They were saying, I thought he, look we for another. So he let him know about the dead being raised and the blind receiving sight and all those things that being done. So that's why we know that the Lord came in the volume of the book. Just like he said, it's written of me to do thy will, O God. So this is what you say. This is what the Lord said. We can declare his word. So he says, believe me. Believe me for the very work sake. And he even said that too, that when he's going to go away, and then greater works than these shall you do because I go away. I'm going back to the Father. So in other words, I'm going back. I came for a purpose. Son of God was the Lamb of God who came to give his life a ransom for many. So he's going back to the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost is the self-same one. So if we understand the oneness of God. So God is the Spirit. The divine essence of God is Spirit. A spirit don't have a body. So that's why he had to take on a body. He says, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. So it wasn't possible that the goat, the blood of goats and bullocks and pigeons and turtle doves and heifers should take away sin. But he purchased us and he washed away our sins and he purchased the church with his own blood. So he is our Savior. This is why he came, so to give his life a ransom for many, to shed his blood for the remission of sin, that once in the end of the world he may appear unto God to put away the sacrifice, put away sins by the sacrifice of himself. So he was made the sin offering. So God could not do that in his spirit form, so he had to take on a body. So God himself did this. Amen. So that's why when we come on the air, we make a declaration. When we open up, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So then we understand. John goes on to say that he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And then so in the 14th verse of St. John, the first chapter, he says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So he goes on to, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So the truth is in Jesus, is what the writer says in the book of Ephesians. So this is what we are endeavoring to do, to tell the truth. And there, like I said, years ago there used to be a show on, was called To Tell the Truth. And that you would have three people would say, my name is John Doe, my name is John Doe, my name is John Doe. And then they would have a dialogue all along. And before the show was over, they would have the real John Doe to please stand up. So the truth is going to stand. So if, like I said earlier about the 15th Psalm, we speak the truth in our heart. We do that which is right. And if you messed up, come clean. So matters not who accuses you of something. You keep lying and being inconsistent, pretty soon you're going to get, you're telling on your own self. So we tell the truth, and then we don't have to worry. And so that's one thing about the apostolic doctrine or the apostolic teaching. It is consistent because we're saying none other things than that what Moses and the prophets did say concerning Jesus. So that's what's so important. So before we get into the book of Galatians on today, thank God that we have our historian with us on today, in the person of Elder Ryan Fountain. Like I said a few minutes ago, we've been away for a couple of weeks because my wife is in the hospital, which she even is right now. She had to go back. So we just thank God we didn't know. She had a little setback, so remember her in your prayers. And so we scheduled this show for today, and we are going on forward with it. But what we want to do are some things that we wanted to, Elder Fountain, who is our historian, he wanted to say out of the 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, about the reprobate mind. So he's going to deal with that. And then so it doesn't matter how far we go in the book of Galatians, the fourth chapter is where we're ending. We're starting off that on today. So we'll just do what we can on today. And so we just desire, like Peter said, to give you the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So we're just trying to give you some meat and some truth of the word of God. So at this time, without any further ado, we're going to give you into the hands of our historian in the person of Elder Ryan Fountain.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, Elder Cannon. How are you doing
praise
on
the Lord.
This evening?
Good to be here.
We are talking, before we get into Galatians, we want to talk about 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. I don't think that I really talked about it to my liking. You know, sometimes when we're speaking the Word of God, we say things and it doesn't just doesn't come out right.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about this a little bit, and I think this ties in with the book of Galatians because the church at Galatia, or the church is at Galatia, because Galatia is a region, and there was many churches within this region that Paul was writing to. They had come across what were known as legalizers that came out of the church in Jerusalem under the auspices of James. These legalizers were coming and trying to bring the law or bring these Gentiles back under the law and have them serve the law rather than Jesus Christ. And this is the warning that Paul was giving unto them in Galatia. But like I said, before we get into that, let's talk about 2 Corinthians, because if a person gets deceived enough and starts believing that the deceptions are true, then they are in danger of becoming a reprobate mind and believing a lie rather than the truth.
Yeah.
And we do not want anybody to receive a mind like that, but we know that in this day and age that there are those that have itching ears and they heap unto themselves teachers.
Yes.
that teach them these strange doctrines because they don't really want to hear truth.
Yes.
But we will not cease to speak truth until the day that the Lord takes us out of here.
Yes.
So let's first go to 1 John, the 4th chapter, and then we'll go into 2 Corinthians. It says, the 4th chapter,
mm-hmm.
And let's start at the first verse. It says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits,"
yeah,
or test the spirits, whether they are of God, because there are many false prophets are gone out into the world. There's many people speaking many different things, many different doctrines,
mm-hmm,
that are not of God, but they claim to be of God.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he's telling them, that there's many false prophets that claim to be sent from God, and that's true in this day and age,
mm-hmm,
that are not really of God. They are coming out of their own mind or influenced by demon spirit.
Yeah.
So as it goes on, it says in verse number 2, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God." Now, notice that word spirit is capitalized. This is signifying the Holy Ghost,
mm-hmm,
the Spirit of God. There is only one spirit, yet he manifested himself in three different manifestations, many other manifestations, but three in this New Testament, one as the Father. The Father is a spirit. God is a spirit. We worship him in spirit and in truth.
Yeah.
The Son is a spirit. The Son had the Spirit in him.
Yeah.
And we should have the Spirit of the Son within our hearts. And thirdly, the Spirit is the Holy Ghost, which is the same Spirit as the Son had, which is the same Spirit that proceeded out of the Father. It's all one Spirit. So the Spirit of God, every spirit, notice this is not a capitalized spirit. This is a lowercase spirit.
Yeah.
So every other spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. This is talking about those that have a human spirit within them. If they confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God,
yeah,
and if you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you are indeed saying that Jesus Christ is God come into the flesh. This is the mystery of godliness, that God manifested in the flesh. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3:16. I'm not as well memorized and versed in
mm-hmm,
these types of things.
That's my
let's 3:16.
Mm-hmm.
Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, so he was proven in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He was seen of angels. He preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. This was indeed Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry.
Yeah.
So, going back to 1 John, the 4th chapter, it says that any spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. So the spirits that speak through the Spirit are of God. This is talking about men that have the Holy Ghost and are working and operating within the Holy Ghost, speaking that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God.
Yes.
And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. So any man that speaks that Jesus Christ has not come in the flesh, that God has not manifested himself in the flesh in his first coming and died upon a cross, was buried for a period of up to 36 hours, and risen again on the third day and offered up as the first fruits unto God, but he was the one yet offering. He was not only the offering, he was the one offering unto the one that accepted the offering, and
yeah,
he was also the one that accepted the offering at the same time. He was all three. If you do not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, is you are not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit that is against Christ,
yeah.
That does not believe that Christ is in our hearts right now. This is Antichrist. This is the enemy that is fighting against us in this day. He is trying to deceive us. He is trying to make us go away from his love. He is trying to make us go away from his peace. He is trying to make us go away from his grace.
Yeah.
Whereof ye are heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. It has been in the world ever since the Garden of Eden, when the serpent came and spoke unto Eve and told her, if ye eat the fruit, ye shall not surely die. This is that same spirit that has been creating destruction ever since the creation of man. Ye are of God, little children. That means you have the spirit. You are the spirits that speak that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And ye have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That means there's nothing that the devil could come up against you with that can make you not believe in the love of God, if you have the love of God in your hearts. Paul tells the Romans, who shall separate us? Who can separate us from the love of God? Who can take us away from this love that God has bestowed upon us? Because he loves us so much,
mm-hmm.
Who will take us away from this? There should be nothing that can be able to separate us from the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
I hope y'all listen to me, because I'm feeling good tonight.
Yeah.
We haven't been talking in a couple weeks. I'm feeling good right now. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. The world hears its own.
Yeah.
We are of God. So what does that mean? We should hear God.
Yeah.
The world will hear themselves. They will hear all those other spirits. That's the spirits they want to hear anyway. That's what their itching ears desire. They want to hear those spirits. But we should be of God. If we are of God, we should want to hear God at any waking moment.
Yeah.
We should want to hear God of every second, of every minute, of every hour, of every day, of every week, of every year, of until we are in his glory and we see him face to face. We should want to hear from God. We should want communication with
yeah.
him. And God wants to communicate with us. And he communicates with us through praise and through worship. When we praise, we are speaking unto God. We are sending up praises. We are sending up all glory unto God. And when we are in worship, God comes down and abides with us in worship and breathes his spirit into us and breathes his peace and breathes his joy and breathes all of his power inside of us. Oh, what a great God we serve.
Yeah.
We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There's a war going on, and that is truth, and it says error in this, but it's lies.
Yeah.
And it says elsewhere in this book that no lie is of the truth.
Yeah.
We should know that. If you mix in a little bit of truth, or you mix in a little bit of lie into a whole truth, what the Bible says is that a little leaven leaveneth the whole loaf. So just a little bit of a lie
mm-hmm.
makes the whole truth a whole lie.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a half truth. There's such thing as a present truth, there's such thing as a past truth, and there's such thing as a future truth. Now, if you try to take a present truth and make that apply into the past, or you take that present truth and try to make that apply into the future, you do not have truth. You need present truth in this day and age. So now to take the law, which was put away at the death of Jesus Christ, that's past truth. There was a time when that was the truth, that was present truth, that was what you needed to receive salvation in that day.
Yeah.
The only ones that could receive that salvation was Jews, or what was called strangers or proselytes, people that converted unto the Judaic religion. Those were the only ones that could be saved. That's past truth. Now, to take that past truth and try to make it present truth and try to make the church under that bondage of the law is a total lie. It's not true. Although it's written in this Bible and that people followed after that, it was just a precursor for what was to come. It was just a shadow of things to come. It was just examples for the church to see. Everything that was written in the Old Testament was pointing towards Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Now, to take millennium promises that will happen in the millennium reign when Jesus Christ comes in his second coming and reigns upon this earth for 1,000 years, to take those promises and put them into this present day is future truth and is taking out of context. You have to always be careful of the context of which the speaker is speaking in order to receive truth.
Yeah.
Now, with that being said, a reprobate mind is deceived to the point where he believes a lie rather than the truth, and you are turned over. Let's go to Rome. Well, let's first read the scripture in 2 Corinthians. It's 2 Corinthians 13. Well, before we go to 2 Corinthians, let's go to Romans. I'm sorry. We'll go to Romans, the first chapter. And this is talking about human existence. We talked about Romans already. We went through the book of Romans. If you missed any of those broadcasts, you can go onto our page on Blog Talk Radio and pull up past shows. We did Romans quite a while ago, a few months ago. But just a recap on what Romans is. These first, I believe, four chapters is talking about. Well, the first three chapters is talking about the human failure and how nobody was able to live up to the standard of God. There's not one righteous, no, not one. And whether they were Jews, whether they were Gentiles, everybody was a failure in the eyes of God after the fall of Adam.
Yeah.
We all had unrighteousness born within us, and we were carrying that around, and it got to a point, even though he justified Noah in his day, even after the flood, people turned their hearts from God. In the days of Noah, it says that men did wicked in his heart continually. It was a continual evil in his heart that proceeded out of man. And he found one righteous man, which was Noah. Noah preached until the day that the ark doors was closed. Now, Noah did not close the door. God closed the door on Noah, and then the rain started to come. Now, even after that, Noah was an eyewitness of the judgment of God, him and his three sons and their wives. And out of those eight people, because Noah's wife was included also, out of those eight people, the whole earth was repopulated. They went out to go populate once again. But by the time of Nimrod, who first started Babel, they began to build a tower. Their heart again was turned away from God because they wanted to reach into the heavens. Hold your hand on Romans. Let's go into Genesis, the 11th chapter, and get this background. I want to get into Galatians tonight, so we have to move quickly on this. In Genesis, the 11th chapter, now, it is commonly believed that and it has been in folklore for so many years that the Tower of Babel was a literal tower that they wanted to build up out of the atmosphere into the heavens. That's not really what this was talking about. This is talking about those pyramids over in ancient Babylon and even in ancient Egypt and ancient Latin America was a derivative of that. these men were building towers to reach spirits. It says, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Now, Shinar is the place where hell will open up her mouth and they will be swallowed up. This is where judgment will happen, because this is where false doctrine, this is where polytheism was first created, because although Cain did not follow after the correct order of God, he still only believed in one God. The devils even themselves believe in one God.
Yeah.
They tremble. But right here is where they created new gods. And Nimrod himself made himself the father god, and his wife was the mother god, and they had a son by the name of Tammuz, who was the supposed eternal son. And this is where the doctrine of Trinitarianism derives from. But we're not talking about that right now. Let's look. It says, and they said to one another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the men, children of men, builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have one language, and this they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Their imaginations had gone wild.
Yeah.
They wanted to reach into the heavens. They wanted to touch on those spirits that were in the atmosphere. They could not leave the earth's atmosphere. We know you can't leave the earth's atmosphere without a special suit with this human body. They would have died. But they were able to reach through worship. They were able to reach the top, their top, because at the top is where the worship, where the sacrifices happen. They worship unto false gods, and those false gods were in the heavens. God resides in the third heaven. That is the place where he dwells and rests and his throne abides. What is called the second heaven is the outer space where those spirits dwell, where Satan and his angels are flying around. There's various devil spirits flying around, and they even come into our atmosphere and enter into men. And the Lord said, it says, go to, let us go down, that they confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore, the name of it is called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. So Babel is the seat of confusion. That's that's what Babel means, is confusion. So that's where confusion started. That's where false worship really started. So now, that being said, let's go back into Romans, the first chapter, and Paul goes further with this and talks about how these men failed God and apostatized themselves away from the love of God.
Yeah. Can I say something right quick?
Sure, sure.
Yeah, apostasy is the rejection of revealed truth. So that's what people are doing nowadays. Even folks are leaving the faith. They're denying the faith. And that's what Paul admonished Timothy when he wrote. He was saying about people supposing that gain is godliness. Turn away from them.
Exactly.
So they're predicating
exactly
their walk with God upon what they have.
Exactly.
And Jesus said that during his earthly ministry, that a man's life don't consist in the abundance of the things which he possess.
Exactly. And he says you can only serve one master,
yes,
either God or mammon.
Right, and mammon is money. And they're making, and that's the whole problem with the whole world today, this greediness with these Republicans and Democrats in the so-called good old U.S. of A. That's their problem. And the rich folks, the top 1%, don't want to pay more taxes, and they're serving Mammon is money, and that's what they're serving.
And that's really becoming their god.
Yes, it
that's
is.
That's what they serve. That's what they worship after, is to make more money.
Mm-hmm. And they think, and the whole point is, in the book of Revelation, when the Lord does judge them and bring down these ports and all this stuff, they're going to know that God did it. They're going to curse him to their face. They're going to curse God to his face. But the whole point being is that they, in their mind, from to generations to come, their grandchildren, their great-grands and all, they're going to have it made because of one thing, that almighty dollar.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're banking on.
Yes. So now, and I think the key word is that they're rejecting revealed truth.
That's what it is. Apostasy is rejection.
And I believe it's Hosea 6 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
And it's not that they didn't have the knowledge readily available to them, but they rejected the knowledge that God was given unto them through the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
But looking into Romans, they rejected. It says in Romans 1, and 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Now, in that day, when they were in Babel, Noah's sons were still alive. So they had an eyewitness to the judgment that happened.
Mm-hmm.
In Noah's day, they knew that the judgment happened, yet they still wanted to build a tower so that the flood would not happen again, so that they could tap into a power that could combat against God, that he would withhold the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being made understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power in Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
Mm-hmm.
God makes it plain through the things that he made that he is God. He is the one that is the creator. He is the one that is the almighty. He is the one that is God.
Yes, he's in charge. And his elements, his weapons are the elements.
Amen. And that's how he's going to fight his battles in the tribulation period, is through the elements, and people are going to hold their fist up and curse God.
Yes. So even now we see that he's using it, like they want an earthquake. The Twin Towers actually that got destroyed in 9/11. They're building two more towers.
Uh-huh.
They're not calling them Twin Towers. I saw this on the Science Channel.
Yeah.
They're calling them, but they're reinforcing them and all of that, so they won't come down like those.
Uh-huh.
And we know that we have heard of buildings that they build, they're calling them earthquake proof. So, in other words, God can't shake them down, is what they're saying.
And they're tempting God, is what they're doing.
Exactly. But, I mean, so it's okay if you try to build, because even Jesus made a mention about, he talks about natural and spiritual things, by building your house on a rock.
Uh-huh.
And, he's talking about spiritual house, he's talking about natural house.
Because
he even made it plain about the one that was built on a rock, and rains and floods descended, and it stood. But one that was built on the sand didn't stand. Then he went on to make it plain. And another of one of the writers, he said, without a foundation.
Yes. Amen.
So we're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. They have apostolic doctrine.
And men try to build their foundations upon other men.
Yes.
And every other religion outside of the religion that was started upon Pentecost, the day of Pentecost in A.D. 29, is... false religion.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. So this is what everything is just leading right up. So you don't want to, the whole point is you don't want a reprobate mind. You don't want to fall into apostasy, as which some of the patriots, some of the people that knew God,
mm-hmm.
they didn't glorify him as God.
Amen.
So he gave them up. So
amen. So that, and that's what we're getting to, because, so they are without excuse. Every man is without an excuse. They should know who God is. They should know that God reigns. They should know that God is sovereign.
Yes.
But because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. You see that word imaginations come up again? They were vain in their imaginations. They imagined something rather than God to serve rather than the creator that created them. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of an uncorruptible God into an image made like unto a corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and to creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into what?
A lie.
And worshipped and served the creature. They created idols to serve because they wanted to serve something else besides God, because the love of God was not in them. They served the creature more than the creator, who was blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change against the natural use, which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of women, burning their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves what recompense of their error, which was meat. I don't need to explain that. That's self-explanatory right there. We know that homosexuality is a sin. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient or not holy or not in order of what God wanted, because they did not want to do that. And he knew that in their heart, God knoweth the hearts. God is able to discern the heart. The word of God does that. He knew, and he foreknew. That's how, why he predestinated unto the destiny that they're destined unto. But he knew you also. And he knew the love that you had for him, that he knew that when the gospel was preached unto you, that you would accept that call and follow after him. He foreknew that. So he did not turn you over to a reprobate mind. When you are returned over to a reprobate mind, and that means you are, he goes on to say that you are seared. Seared with an iron. That means you are branded to that destiny. You are branded to that judgment, and there's no way that you can turn back from that. There's no turning back from a reprobate mind. You are totally lost. That is the scariest thing for a child of God, to know God and to worship God, but to be seared with a hot iron and not to be able to serve God any longer. But you actually think that you are serving God in your own manner, that you don't have to follow after what God spoke or what God's man spoke, but you can do it in your own manner. You can do it in your own way, and that's acceptable. God doesn't accept everything.
No.
There, he told the Laodicean church that you are lukewarm, and I will spew thee out of my mouth. That means he's rejecting the praises. He's rejecting the worship that is going forth out of that church, because it is not acceptable unto him. God doesn't accept everything.
See, we can see some things nowadays, and that one one only child by this one famous couple want to be a he. So we would say it's a she-he. So, I mean, so looks like a man, but don't have what a man has. And, I mean, that's out of your own mind. Ain't no, that's foolishness. That is a lie. I don't care what some psychiatrists say. Ain't no man trying to get out of a woman's body, or no woman trying to get out of a man's body. God didn't make no freaks. People are doing that stuff to themselves.
That's their own lust.
Exactly.
And manifesting, manifesting itself. That's not the love of God. That's lust in your heart.
Right. And even, and I mean, some people should be ashamed of themselves at things they're doing. Aretha Franklin sung at a wedding in New York, which was, wasn't ordained of God. It was two men. I mean, come on.
And
Yeah, that ain't no blessing.
It's not.
Yeah, talking about the man married his partner.
And I was even listening on the radio this morning, and there was a certain secular artist who was giving God all kinds of glory, but I know what, I've seen the works that this man does, and
mm-hmm.
it's not to the glory of God.
Yes.
It's not in holiness that he does these things.
Right.
And they were giving him all sorts of praise. They were giving him all sorts of compliments and everything and feeding into his ego. But that's not what God ordained for us.
No.
With that being said, let's go back into the book of Galatians. Now, Elder Ken spoke on the first three chapters in Galatians.
Yeah, you do a recap, yeah.
And again, this is a book that is a warning because he did not want them to go into a reprobate state where they thought that serving the law was actually serving God. So he was giving them the difference of the law and of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He told them that if an angel come and preach another gospel unto you, or a man that seems sent of God, another spirit comes and preaches another gospel unto you, don't accept it.
Mm-hmm. He said, let him be accursed.
Exactly. And that he went on and justified his ministry. He went and justified and went back to the beginning when God called him on that road to Damascus and then had him trained in Arabia for 3 years. And then he went before the apostles and proved his apostleship.
Yeah.
That's the only person that he had to prove his apostleship unto. Now, he did it for their sakes. God had already called him to be an apostle. God had already let him know who he was.
Mm-hmm.
You should know who you are in God. Now, you need to be tested. That's why he says in the book of Revelation, you tried them that said they were apostles and were found not.
Mm-hmm. Found liars.
Found liars. So now, he went and showed himself to be an apostle and had the same commission that they had, and they even tried to add on to it and said, make sure that you look after the poor. And he said, I already had that commission. He already showed me that. So he had everything that they had. He was just, as he says, I believe he says in the First Corinthians, that he's one born out of his due season. So now he was showing them that the gospel that I preached unto you was indeed ordained of God. So now, looking, he tells them that the law was what was known as the schoolmaster, and that it was just there in the place until the time of the Christ was to come. Christ came, so the law was put away. And they were no longer to be servants of the law, to be servants under sin, because the law was only able to point out sin. The law wasn't able to eradicate sin as Jesus Christ was able to do. Now, there was provisions in the law that were able to atone or cover sins for a year's time, but you had to keep going back for that sacrifice. Jesus Christ went into the holies of holies one time and offered the sacrifice, and that was eternally or everlasting, an everlasting sacrifice. So he did not even have to go back in because, one, he was without sin when he first went in.
Mm-hmm.
The high priest in the Levitical priesthood had to go in and offer once for himself and then go back in and offer for the people. Jesus Christ didn't have to offer for himself because he was without sin. He was without blame, so he was able to go in and offer once for the people and was able to take away sin. So now we are no longer under that bondage. Now, as we go, we're just going to start in the fourth chapter. Well, let's start in the 26th verse of the third chapter. It says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So if you have not been baptized into Christ, have you put on Christ? it plainly says right there that you must be baptized into Christ. That means baptized into the Lord's name, baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, to put on Christ or to be put in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
There is no identity that you can identify with in this body any longer once you belong unto Christ. That's the only identification you need. I'm a son of God.
Yes.
I'm a son of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I put on his name. I don't need to identify with any sort of genealogy. I don't need to know my tribe. I don't need to know my family history like that. Now, it's nice to know family history. I'm a historian myself. I like to know about the history of things. I like to know about where my family came from. I like to know those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not relevant to my salvation.
Exactly.
The only thing that is relevant to my salvation is being baptized into Christ and putting on that name and putting on his spirit. If ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and the heirs according to the promise. Now, I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. So once you're under tutelage, you are serving. You have to be in a sort of servant's role to get a learning, to get an understanding. You have to put in some work. You don't just become an heir and just know it all and know how to carry on the family's business. When royalty, looking back into like the Middle Ages. Let's take the example of the king, the royal family in England.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at that. This is pre-parliament and everything. When the king had a son, that son was the heir. He was next in line for the throne. But once the king was born, once the prince was born, he did not automatically become king because he did not know how to rule a country.
Right.
That is why many times when a child, when the king dies and the prince is still a child, the kingdom many times can turn into anarchy where there's many people trying to vie for position and trying to take over and usurp the authority that the prince had rightly had in his country. But that child had to go through learning. That child had to go through tutors. He had to be taught how to read, how to write, how to be a king for his people. He had to be taught how to fight. He had to be taught how to be a diplomat. He had to be taught how to be an ambassador. He had to be taught all of those things in order for him to be ready and prepared to be in his proper place as heir of the throne. So as a child, it says that he's no different than a son, but under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father.
Mm-hmm.
So when the father appointed him to be the crown prince, to be in his proper place at the right hand of the throne, then he was in proper place, but until then he had to work. He had to put in his work. He had to put in his learning.
Right.
He had to get on the job training, so to speak. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. This is before our salvation, before our rebirth.
Yes.
And even when we get birthed in our second birth, we have to be taught in a family. The Bible says that we are placed in flocks like
yeah.
families.
Yeah.
And we have to be taught by our pastor. We have to be taught by the shepherd or the under-shepherd to get an understanding of the love of God and what God is trying to express unto us and how to tap into that power. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. God put his son, this was his chosen flesh, this was the seed that he spoke about in the Garden of Eden that would crush the head of the serpent seed.
Mm-hmm.
This is the seed that he spoke to Abraham of, that out of his seed the nations will be blessed, that his seed will be as the stars of the sky and as the sand of the sea.
Mm-hmm.
Out of this is where the seed was to proceed forth out of. He was made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So he redeemed those that were under the law. He redeemed those that were outside of the law, so that we might receive adoption, that we might be brought into the family of God, that we might be grafted into the branch or into the vine. And because ye are sons, when you are a son of God, when you are baptized in his name, when you receive his spirit, you are his son. You have received a birthright. You are now in the family of God. God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you, when you are birthed, you speak.
Yeah.
When a baby comes out of the womb, the first thing they have to test is that, to see if he's alive, is that he speaks or
yeah.
he cries.
Yeah.
So you speak and you identify yourself to your father and are connected with him in communication. You communicate with him through prayer. You communicate with him through worship. Wherefore, art no more a servant, but a son, if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now that after ye have known God, or rather have known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? On this note, we're going to close out. This is where Paul is trying to steer them away from. He's trying to steer them away from apostasy.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to steer them away from a reprobate mind, because they know God. They had a face-to-face contact with him. His spirit is inside of them, and he wants them to know that if you turn back unto the worldly elements, if you turn back unto the law, if you turn back unto doctrine that is not prescribed by God in this day, if you are not following after present truth, you are in danger, and you are going back into bondage. You are going to be seared with an iron. You are going to be deceived. He does not want them to be deceived. He is crying out unto them, don't be deceived. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe what they're telling you
right.
is true. Try the spirit. Try the spirit. See if it is of God. See if it lines up with the scriptures. Is what's being taught unto you lined up with the scriptures? Are they rightly dividing the word of truth? Are they putting scripture upon scripture without any contradictions? There should be no contradictions within the scriptures. On this note, we will close out. We will return unto you next week out of the fourth chapter. We will start in the 10th verse of the book of Galatians. In Jesus' name, be blessed.
Amen. Thank God for his word. Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That's truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Let me say that again. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God bless you. We'll talk to you on next time.